in considering the one another portions and verses of the New Testament. We began to consider Galatians 6 last week, and let me read from the beginning of Galatians chapter 6. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You remember last Lord's Day evening, as we began to consider this chapter, we saw that verse 1 could be considered under the heading of restoring the broken. Perhaps the reason that is that there were those who were broken and had to be restored because it was the case that the burden that they carried hadn't been relieved or borne by others. And because of that, there was this breaking of whatever sort it would be in their life. And it's this that brings us to our second point tonight. We began, as I said, with restoring the broken. Now, as we come to verse 2, where Paul writes, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, it is that we see their teaching concerning the relieving of the burden that we carry. And it is that the second responsibility that is given to us as God's people is that not only would we be used by God to restore the broken, but also that part and parcel of our calling as God's people is that we would relieve those who are burdened, whatever the nature of the burden may be. And it is that the word that Paul uses there, it's translated as bear. It could also be translated as carry. And it's a word that's got the idea of lifting up, of enduring, of a declaration, of sustaining something, of receiving something. And all these nuances are contained, and it is that the ESV, certainly in the way it translates it, with the English word bear, it's a good translation. And basically the idea means to remove or to lift an overwhelming load. And it doesn't matter the nature of the load. It could be physical, it could be emotional, it could be spiritual, it could be any combination of these three things or other things as well. But the image that's contained in the word is that someone has such a huge, heavy burden, and it's of such a nature that a sister or a brother in Christ sees them bearing that burden, recognizes that they're not able to bear that burden themselves, and so it is that in Christ's name and with his help, they seek to run and offer the sister or brother some form of aid, whether it be physical, spiritual, or whatever it may be. And this is in line totally with what it is that we find throughout the pages of the New Testament scriptures, because the New Testament is absolutely chock-a-block with examples of individuals who were used by God to lift heavy burden of others. We can think of the person of Jesus himself in Mark 1 and from verse 40, and it is that you read that a leper came to Jesus imploring him, kneeling, said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. We read that Jesus was moved with pity, that he stretched out his hand, touched him and said to him, I will be clean. And immediately it was the case that the leprosy left this individual and he was made clean. Now it is that of leprosy, it was something. The nature of the disease, it was highly contagious. It is that we know that there were leper colonies that were found outside of the main areas of society and where it was that people would gather. And the very fact that it was highly contagious, you don't want to touch anybody with a leprosy. And yet it is. Here we find Jesus, and it is that he's breaking the societal norms, as it were. And it is that he touches this individual, a leper. And there's no doubt in my mind that this was something that must have spoken vividly to this individual, far less the healing that he experienced, because he was someone who had probably not experienced human touch, certainly for a number of years, of maybe not even decades, in his case. But Jesus, ignoring the societal norms, reaches out, touches the man, and his contact with him, and heals the man. And you can imagine the burden that was lifted off this individual in terms of the illness, in terms of the stigma that was attached to it, in terms of the social alienation that had been his, perhaps for many decades. And it is that all these burdens have been lifted off him in terms of the single touch of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Think of the example of the apostle of Barnabas, rather, and Saul. And it is that you read in Acts 9 and from verse 26. When he'd come to Jerusalem, that's Saul, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, declared to them how in the road he'd seen the Lord, who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he'd preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went out among, in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. So here is Saul. He's just been converted by Christ. And naturally, he wishes to join himself to the body of Christ, his brothers and sisters in Christ. The disciples in Jerusalem, they hear the word, and they're absolutely astounded, so much that they don't believe that this has taken place in the life of the one who was their greatest enemy in human terms at that point, and they didn't believe he had been converted. And yet Barnabas, God brings him into Saul's life. And what does Barnabas do? He lifts up Saul's burden. Barnabas, the son of encouragement, that's what his name means. And I think more and more after 40-odd years in the Church of Christ, how we need more Barnabases and Barnabai, if we can call them that. Sons and daughters of Christ who would be sons and daughters of encouragement. Because it is that we need to encourage one another greatly in the day and age in which we are living in. And as Barnabas, he introduces Saul to the apostles in this way. Not only is he lifting the burden that was Saul's, but it is that I believe that he is doing what Paul speaks of here when he says, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? It's the law of love. And it is that here Barnabas in love is lifting this burden that was Saul's at this time. So the question and application, I think, in this, how do we become burden bearers? How does it manifest itself? And so we will fulfill the law of Christ. You see, maybe you're sitting here, you're online tonight, and you're saying, well, Alan, I want to help myself as far as possible, and I don't want the church helping me. After all, people need to help themselves as far as possible. And that's good in one sense, because look at what Paul says in verse 5. Each will have to bear his own load. Each will have to bear his own burden. But when it is that you come to certain translations, they don't do very well in terms of bearing one another's burdens in verse 2, and they speak about bearing your own burden in verse 5. The words that are translated here are two different words that are translated as burden. The word that's translated at verse 2 refers to something that no one in and of themselves will ever be able to lift. They need outside alien help, in a sense. But it is that the word that's used here in verse 5, when you read, for each will have to bear his own load, that's a good translation. Because say the King James, it translates it as burden as well. But the word in verse 5 refers to something that's easily lifted by one individual. It's almost as though the difference in the words is like the difference between a boulder and a pebble. Verse 2 is the boulder verse. Verse 5 is the pebble verse. And then there's another thing to this, that we have to allow others to bear our burdens. Now, how does this work out? Well, often, perhaps, have we said something or somebody said to us, and the replies come, you've got so much going on in your life. I'm sure you'll work it out. And I don't want to be a burden to you. And it is that we hold back. And we've heard this refrain countless times in the church or in the counseling room. And in our culture of individualism, we're surrounded and bombarded by messages like, you do you, or look out for number one. But when it is that you keep your struggles to yourself, you short circuit the powerful connection of vulnerability that is alive between ourselves and our brothers and sisters in Christ. And it is that we prevent others from meeting a God-designed need. And it is that God's design and the way that he's made us includes a responsibility for one another. And that's why it is that we have so many one another sayings in the New Testament. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And part of God's design for his bride, for his body, is that it includes a responsibility for one another. And it's not just a one-time thing. The grammar of what Paul writes here literally what Paul writes is this: keep on carrying, keep on bearing one another's burdens. It's not a case of it's a one-off and that's it, but it's something that's to be part and parcel of the ongoing lifestyle of the believer in Christ. So the question I think follows is this: why don't we share one another's burdens? Why is it something that amongst the people to whom it should be second nature, at times it's so difficult to do? Well, one answer I think is we're afraid we'll overwhelm people. We're afraid we'll crush them. That in our estimation, they've already got enough difficult things to deal with in their life. Why do you want to add one more thing to what it is that they've got in their life? And yet it is that the Lord doesn't want us to enter into that sort of thinking. He basically says to us, keep on carrying one another's burdens. Why? Because my grace is sufficient for you. And even when it is that I find myself in a prison cell, I find myself facing imminent execution, as he writes in Philippians, what does he say? He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, we either believe that or we don't. We either know something of the power of that, maybe not to the degree that we wish, but it's something that the Word states that the Holy Spirit gives to his church. And so, if you're afraid of overwhelming someone, think about that. The other thing is that we've got to be careful that as well as overwhelming and crushing people and why we don't bear burdens, another one which is rather negative is that perhaps we dislike certain people, even certain brothers and sisters in Christ. And that includes even helping those who don't like us and those whom we don't like. Listen to Exodus 23 and 4. If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall bring it back to him. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying down under its burden, you shall refrain from leaving him with it. You shall rescue it with him. How practical that is. And Moses writes in Exodus 23, if you see the donkey, not of one who loves you, one who delights to say shalom to you when it is that you're in their presence, but if you see the donkey of one who hates you, what do you do? Do you turn your back on them and say, sorry, it's your problem? No. It is that you shall refrain from leaving the one who hates you with the burden that his donkey's carrying. You shall rescue it with them. Now again, we can't do that in our own strength. It's impossible. And let's be honest, sometimes within the church, it's almost as though we think that we have to get on with everybody. We don't. We don't get on with everybody. Even Jesus had his favorites. And we know that from amongst the disciples and from the band of disciples. And it is that it's something that we need to recognize, and yet it is that, as Paul again in Philippians reminds us, and we'll be considering this later on, what does Paul say? Consider one another more highly than you do yourself. That's where a lot of the problems in the church come from, because we're not putting that into practice with God's help. It is that we've become proud. It is that we become sort of self-sufficient, and that's why it is. Look at what Paul says in verse 3. If anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. If it is that you think you're something, then the odds are on that you'll not be a burden bearer. That's what I take from what Paul's saying here. But then he says, let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. You see, when you help those who are hurting, particularly those whom you consider as those who you dislike and they dislike you, you're doing what Jesus commands. And that's when we began with what Jesus says in John 13:34, this 11th commandment. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You see, it's so easy to just turn your back, isn't it? I've done it. You've therefore done it if I've done it. And it's easy for us to look down our noses on those who have great burdens, and those perhaps whom it is that we'd rather not have spent time with. And it's easy to look at someone and say, they deserve it. It's easy to look at someone and say, they're so weak. To say they just can't handle the pressure. That's their problem. Or often, if we had it said, maybe even of us, I saw it coming. I really saw it coming, how it was going to be. Or, well, maybe they'll listen to me the next time. Maybe that's what we'll do. I just don't want to get involved. I'm just glad it's them and not me. Or what about this one? I know I would never do something like that. So, I'm not going to help them with a burden. And it's a reminder and a warning to us how quick we are to condemn, to look the other way as we pass on by the other side. And it's something that we need to be aware of. And maybe it's because we're embarrassed to be vulnerable. Maybe it's because we've brought hard circumstances on ourselves, and we therefore don't think that we've got the right to receive help and someone to help lift the burden that's been of our own doing. Maybe we feel ashamed about our situation and don't want to be exposed. Maybe you're afraid of feeling judged and feeling that you're stupid. Maybe you're nervous about what others will think less of you or decide that you're crazy. Maybe you want to avoid feeling like you owe somebody something when it is that they serve you. But it can't be like that, because God's word tells us that we must share our burdens and be burden bearers. One reason: we were created to be interdependent, not independent. But we were created to be interdependent. Our infinitely wise Creator designed us to be dependent creatures. And not just dependent on Him, but dependent on one another. None of us were ever intended to be self-sufficient, providing everything that we need on our own. Think on it. At the beginning, Adam. What does God say about His creation? It's very good. But also, God said, it was not good that Adam be alone. No interdependence. So it is that He created woman, bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh, so that He might have a companion, a helpmeet for life. From the beginning, and this is how I think profound this is, and we forget it. From the beginning, even before sin entered the world, you and I were created for interdependence, to depend on one another and to help one another. And trying to hold all your burdens alone is counter to God's design. It's not part of the reality of creation. It's really not. Maybe that's why some Christians, and it is that they're about breaking mentally, physically, spiritually, because they just want to hold everything to themselves. But also, we're commanded to love one another. Do we? Yeah, we say it. We love one another, but do we? What about when a friend calls needing to talk? I got to be honest, I received a phone call a few weeks ago. And when I saw who it was nobody in this congregation or even in Canada. So don't start thinking. It was somebody from my homeland. And when I saw who it was, I groaned. I groaned. Then when I was preparing the sermon for tonight, that convicted me. I thought, you shouldn't have been groaning, Alan. Because I knew they were phoning with a burden, and I didn't answer the phone. Many times have you done that? If I've done it, you've done it. Let's be honest. That's just the way we are. And it is that we need to just take God at his word. As I've said before, part of the problem, I think, that we face so often is that we don't take God at his word. Yeah, I know the word says that, but I'm going to do this. And how often is that the beginning of where we end up in trouble? But another thing, we need to be careful that we're not the cause of someone's burdens. Do you ever see yourself as the cause of someone's burden? Die. And the reason I'm saying this is because Jesus had no tolerance for those who piled people with problems and with endless expectations. Think of what he says in Luke 11 and 46. You read this. He said, "Woe to you lawyers also, for you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers." Wow. Didn't miss them, did he? He didn't miss them. Now, I don't want to be guilty of preaching Lord's Day by Lord's Day that you end up leaving these services more burdened than when you came in. I know Rod and Jim and David wouldn't let that happen. They would be saying to me the next session meeting, "What's going on, Alan?" As their right and responsibility to do so. But the question is, do we pile upon people burdens, or do we make their load lighter? Perhaps one of the ways in which it is that we can try and answer this is, what about burdens that Jesus never asked us to carry? You ever stop to think that there were burdens that he never asked us to carry? We may do it with noble motives, but how often is it that when we lift burdens we were never meant to carry, we pretty quickly we realize we need to lay them back down? So what are some of these burdens that we're never meant to carry? What about the burden of our sins? We were never meant to carry the burden of our sins. Think of Psalm 38 and 4. "For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me." There's the psalmist acknowledging, I can't bear them. They're too heavy. What about Jesus personally carrying our sins in his body on the cross? Peter tells us, "By his wounds you are healed." And think of the burdens of our sins. What about the feelings of guilt? Guilt can drive you to despair. How many people are at the point of suicide tonight because of guilt? The burdens become far, far too heavy for them. And they're trying to bear it themselves. What does Jesus say? "Come unto me, ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What about shame? Is that not one of the horrors of young teens are having to face in terms of social media? And it is that they've been tricked or conned by someone to send intimate photos of themselves. And it is that whoever it is that they send them to then publishes publicly or says to them, "Unless you do this, that, or the other, they're going to be published." And we've all read of young teens in recent months. And what's the only way out they've considered? Taking their own lives. That's tragic. That really is. That's what our teens are facing in so many situations. What about regret? All of us have regrets. I was using the example this morning of Superman going so fast around the world, he spins it the other way and Lois Lane comes back to life. How many of us, perhaps, are living a life of vain regrets? And we wish we could do that. We could turn the clock back. Think of what we did, not at 2 a.m. There'd be something wrong with you if you did it at 2 a.m. But think of what we did last night before we went to bed. It is that we changed our clocks by one single hour. And the difference it's made even tonight. Have you never wished at some point in your life with the regrets that you've had because of sin in your life and what it's led to, that you could just go up to the clock and turn the fingers of the clock back and back and back and then start afresh again. Well, you can do that, but only in Christ, the great burden bearer. Only in Christ, my friends. And he is able to bear that burden and the regret that's yours. What about humiliation? At times we've been humiliated. And often it is that we can come to the point where it feels not just that we've got a few rocks in our backs, but we've got mountains, boulders upon us, crushing us, and we're buried beneath them. The thing is, you can't even lift them off yourself. It's only Christ who can do that, the great burden bearer. One writer I was reading put it like this: not only can Jesus alone pull us out of the hole of sin, listen to this, it's beautiful. He alone desires to climb in and bear our burdens for us. He alone desires to climb in and bear our burdens for us. What a Savior we have tonight. What love he has for us. And think on it, he was buried for us. He was buried so that we would be sheltered by his resurrection power. And we would know the power and the strength of his resurrection in our day-to-day lives. Never to have to live under that oppressive weight again. Why? Because Christ is risen and he is Lord. And we need to rejoice in this and give God thanks for this. What about another burden that we've not been asked to carry? And it's the burden of saving others. Think of what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3. I planted, Apollos watered, but it's God who gives the growth. Yeah, I had my work to do, Apollos had his, but it was God. And beyond attempts to atone for our own sins, the burden of trying to save ourselves, another temptation that comes to us is to take on the pressure of changing those around about us and the burden of saving others. And that too is a crushing weight. We can't do it in our own strength. We can't change the media. We can't change our politicians. We can't change the mindset of death that's out there. You and I can't do it. But Christ can by his Spirit and his Word. But in this world, in his world, God welcomes us to offload the burden of saving onto Jesus and simply to partake the ministry of simply sowing as we've been called to do. Over and over again in the scriptures, Jesus says to us, you be the sower and let me be the Savior. You be the sower and let me be the Savior. And sometimes I think we forget that. Then the next burden that we're never called to carry is the burden of perfectionism. The burden of perfectionism, and that in our wing of the church at times, I wonder if it's been a burden that people have had to carry and they really had no need to carry it. Listen to what the Lord says in Luke 10:41. Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. And our culture is possessed and obsessed with the pursuit of being good enough. Am I a good enough mother? Am I a good enough student? Am I a good enough friend? Am I a good enough pastor? Am I a good enough Christian? And the constant pressure drives many to take up the heavy backpack of perfectionism, and they're clawing endlessly for acceptance, worried we haven't done enough to earn God's approval. And the irony is, you never will. You'll always be climbing, yet never arriving. God doesn't intend to make us good enough. God's intention is to make us holy. There's a vast difference between holiness and being good enough in the sight of a holy God. And then it is that the burden that we're not meant to carry is of knowing the future. Knowing the future. We're not meant to carry that burden. We're really not. Think of what we read. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. What is it that Jesus said about worry? Don't worry about tomorrow. Today's got enough worries of its own. And we get this person and that person, even in the church. I've never seen and heard of so many prophets being raised up in the church. And it is that they give words of edification, this, that, and the other, and it's going to happen and it's going to be. What a burden that must be, especially when people come to you and say, you said this, but it didn't turn out like that. In fact, it turned out the opposite way. Ah, well, maybe it's this. So often it is for ourselves that we carry that burden of wanting to know the future. And God in Christ frees us from asking, what will happen tomorrow? He doesn't want us to ask what will happen tomorrow. He wants us to come to him and say, Lord, please help me. And he calls us to simply ask, what does faithfulness look like today, Lord? What will it mean in my life to express faithfulness in my life today? And Lord, how can I love you and others today? Not tomorrow or next week, but how can I do it today? So as I come to an end, are you weighed down by burdens? And these burdens, they can be any number of things. I wrote down 14 here, and I'm sure there's way more than 14, but let me just read through them. Burdens can manifest themselves as sickness, sudden tragedy, personal loss, financial difficulty, broken dreams, a failed marriage, family problems, career setbacks, death of a loved one, sickness, a sudden tragedy, personal loss, financial difficulty, broken dreams. What I'm saying to you is this. You don't need to unburden yourself of any one or any combination of these things, or be better to come to Jesus. He wants you to come to meet him where you are. And the wonderful thing is, your very burden or burdens, that's what qualifies you to come to Jesus tonight. To come to the great burden bearer. A man fell into a pit and couldn't get himself out. An empathetic person came along and said, I feel for you down there. Pharisee said, only bad people fall into pits. A gossip wanted to know all the details. How did you end up in the pit? A self-pitying person said, you should see my pit. A fire and brimstone preacher said, you deserve your pit. A psychologist noted, your parents are to blame for your pit. A self-esteem therapist said, believe in yourself and you can get out of the pit. An optimist said, things could be worse. A pessimist said, there's nothing worse than this. Jesus, seeing the man, took him by the hand and lifted him out of the pit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalm 40, my closing words. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Know of that tonight. Whatever your burden may be, God is able to help you bear that burden, and pray that God would make each one of us more like Jesus as we would live out what Paul says here, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Amen. Let's stand to pray. Father, it is that we have to confess that even in something that seems so simple, it is that so often we fail miserably. And it is that we do so because at heart we are so selfish so often. But we pray that the Spirit himself might convict us, even of what we have considered in the words of the Apostle, that more and more amongst us as a people, that what we characterize in our love for Jesus and the fulfilling of his law is that we are burden bearers. And we pray especially for any amongst us tonight who are bearing burdens that they have not been able to share with anyone else. And we pray, O God, that you might, in your providence, bring someone into their life that you would use to help them in the bearing of the great burden that they're carrying. So again, we thank you for the blessings of this your day, that we've been able to meet here freely and without fear of persecution. And we ask that in the week that lies ahead, that you would go before us and be the breaker up of our way. Hear us now, Father, and forgive our sins. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.